B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
How you doing, Stanky Lane?
You know I went a year without touching myself?
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
I wish somebody would have marooned them.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall Dick, where you at?
515-75. Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hey, we got one half right now, man. You guys should feel real good about where we're at.
There's only so much ambage in the universe.
Because, hey, that's all you can ask for, man.
And when an individual feeds on his ambage, then the government must intervene.
Believe it, man?
No doubt.
Me too, man. All right, let's get it done.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Touch and Rich radio program, Town Fair Tire Studios. You can look at us on Twitch. Get the Twitch app and search for the Sports Hub. Or you can get to Twitch on twitch.tv. Dan was just telling me in my ear that Wallach, very paranoid about tomorrow. Very paranoid about tomorrow.
Not at all.
Actually, I got the opposite impression.
Nope.
Wallach even came in, and he told me beforehand, he said, you know, with the snow, I heard that it's not going to start till like 2 o'clock anyway, so it's not going to affect us coming in and out tomorrow to work.
Nope.
So he goes, and I'm usually the one who's freaking out, and he goes, and I don't think tomorrow's going to be anything to worry about.
Nope.
Well, which means we're going to get a blizzard.
Which you're probably right.
Well, what's funny is that it just, even like, that's the conversation. Did you bring it up?
You have to plan ahead. I brought it up because you have to plan ahead. It's just something in our business when you're up early in the morning and you know that there's going to be a storm of some kind overnight in the near future. You have to start thinking about, okay, do I need to stay downtown? Do I not? And none of that is necessary.
1 to 3 inches.
Wednesday.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
None of that's necessary.
1 to 3 inches. But you brought it up.
I did bring it up. It's conversation that we sometimes have. The weather in the near future. You have brought things up like that before.
Was it
as
the
well.
First thing that he said to you?
No.
We talked for a while about our weekends, and then we kind of made it into that.
Yeah.
I might have even been the one who brought it up.
Wow. Well, Dan said that the first thing Wallach said to him was about the snow.
Absolutely. I walked in. He's okay. Like, you getting a room tomorrow night? What are you doing?
I'm like, that's exactly how it
slow
went.
Down.
Because right? We don't know Wallach one time got stranded.
He's already got his car started outside.
Now, he does do that.
Not cold enough for that.
But you do start your car really early.
And he has to back it in.
The remote control.
Yeah, and then he has to back it in.
Yep.
Because
you got the guy with the windshield wipers up. You don't want those things to freeze.
I actually don't blame you for that. That's the wipers out thing is all right. I've been screwed before having them get frozen to my windshield.
You don't want that. That's a pain in the ass. It takes a while. Cut it loose, and then you have that ice situation when you try to use it back and forth. You don't want that.
No, but I mean, you focus on snow.
In the past, I have, yes. Because but as I said before, that one winter when we went to Phoenix and came back and got walloped like 5 times by major snowstorms, I'm like, that's all right. That's fine. That's it.
You know? It was like cognitive
Therapy. Made it through that.
Yeah, it was cognitive therapy.
It was cathartic, yes.
Yeah, you faced your fears. You were forced to face your fears.
Yes.
And then here we are.
Yep.
But if you don't know, John years ago was stuck in a blizzard.
Twice. Yes.
Twice. And you had to go, like, forage through the snow for help.
Yes, that's true. When you got stuck in Malden near the Wellington T station overnight once. Not fun.
Now, in your car?
Yeah.
Now, what happened to your car?
The car got buried in a snowbank.
Okay.
I never should have tried it, but it was bombing down snow overnight. It might have even been that April Fool's Day blizzard, like, 15 years ago. And I tried to make it home. I was living in Malden back then, and I got off the main road right across the street from where Kiss 108 used to be. And there's a big office park right there, and I turned off the main road and went to the bottom of the off-ramp, and no one had plowed because the snow was falling too fast, and I got stuck for about 6 hours. Just in the snow.
And you stayed in your car?
No. After a while, I see the snow piling up outside my door. I'm like, all right, I got to go somewhere. I can't. And, of course, I'm wearing sneakers at the time. So that was fun. And I ran over to the Wellington T station, and AAA is like, we can't get to you for about 3 hours. I mean, there's no way in hell we're going to come get to you. And finally, after a while, cop tried to pull me out, couldn't do it, and somehow I got out of there. I forget how I got out of there.
But it was traumatizing.
It was. Absolutely was.
And then for years, the snow has haunted you.
It did. It did for a while.
And you never thought of moving to somewhere without snow?
Yes, I thought many times of that. I almost moved to Dallas once, but no, it did not happen.
All right. Well, I'm glad that you were appeased.
Thank you.
1 to 3 inches
Yep.
Of snow expected on Tuesday.
Is that what it is now? I've heard it just fluctuate so much, and I don't even look anymore because I know it's just going to be, it changes all the time.
Right.
Well, no, but if, I mean, there's a big, I mean, if they say 1 to 3 inches, that doesn't mean we're going to get 6. I mean, they're pretty much ruling that out.
Okay.
So, but there will be nice ice, so we can enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
The weekends now are terrible. The weekends now are worse than during the week. They're now that both of my kids are at an age where they both have activities.
Yes. I had, that's another thing Rich and I discussed.
Yep.
All the activities I had to do over the weekend.
I had, yes. How many do you have this week?
This coming week?
No, this last weekend.
Oh, we had 4, 2 on each day.
Okay, it's 7.
Oh, you win. Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
Basketball was 7. In there somewhere, right?
Basketball was all over the place.
Yeah.
And then I had to run a clinic for 5- and 6-year-olds.
Right.
For baseball.
Ooh.
So I was gone yesterday from 10 a.m. until 5 o'clock.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Just 10 a.m. to 5 o'clock. It's working now. All it is working.
I've gotten to the point where I don't tell my son about sports that are up for to sign up for if there's a ton of stuff on the weekend. Like, if it's like a Tuesday and like a Thursday type situation and games on Friday, I'm like, all right, we can do that.
Yeah.
But if there's stuff that there's like, you know, mandatory games on Sunday, I won't sign him up for almost any sport where he has to do something on a Sunday.
Well,
although he has one right now, but it's like at 3 o'clock on a Sunday. So mm-hmm. I'm all right with that.
Well, you can kiss sports goodbye because that's if you don't want anything on the weekends.
Yeah. No, everything has a mandatory something on the weekend.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah, you can do one, and that's it.
Like basketball, we practice once a week. You know this. Practice once a week, and then a game on a Saturday. And my kids swim. You guys know that. My kids swim. Swim practice Monday and Wednesday, meets on Sunday.
Yeah, and now my daughter plays basketball, is in the Girl Scouts.
Right.
So I have to.
Right.
So I get to go to her basketball games, which are at 9 on Saturday. Then I got to coach my son at 1 o'clock, and then he's got to practice at 4:30.
Practice for baseball.
Basketball.
Well, he has
he's on two teams.
Oh, sorry. I didn't know that. All right.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
So that's 7 activities.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're father of the year, man.
No.
No?
Just 7 activities.
Okay.
I was dying when I got home.
That's the excuse. You just go upstairs like, don't bother me. I'm done.
Well, there was, I had 45 minutes of a break, and then there was, I was like, do I take a nap, or do I take, like, the world's longest shower? Like a Silkwood shower.
Oh, nap always wins.
No, I took the shower.
No.
It was the right thing to do.
I vote with Fred on that because you take a nap, you're not getting up.
If I could take a 20-minute nap, I'll take a 20-minute nap.
Yeah, but you're like an X-Man when it comes to that. You can sleep anywhere, anytime for however long. The rest of us normal people can't do this.
I have to shut off. And then just, I can turn right back on, but I have to shut off.
See, I have nothing today.
It's an amazing skill you have.
I have nothing today, so I'll sleep for like 3 hours.
That's great.
The day.
That's great.
Absolutely nothing today. I'm getting up in the morning and driving here, I was like, God bless us all. As soon as we leave here today,
just sleeping.
I got just sleeping, masturbating, eating. That's all I'm doing.
Put that on the cozy calendar.
All in the same chair.
Is that on the cozy calendar? Time with yourself?
All the cozy calendar says is my wife's working, my kids are at school. And they got nothing I got to take them to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I have to pick my son up for something, but it's like half a mile away. And that's
okay.
All.
Okay.
And I don't have to be there.
Dan just said to me, one of them's going to come home sick today. Ruin everything.
Well, you know what? If you come home sick today, you win because you can play as much Fortnite as you want.
Oh, well, that's a good point.
Yeah. Fortnite's open for the day.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm not going to limit your time. I'll tell you. I can't recall ever in my life going, hey, this day of getting up at the crack of ass and working is going to be so much better than the weekend. Can't go out. Can't do anything. Because he's got stuff Friday night. I can't do anything.
What does he have Friday night?
All right, let me check.
Friday night?
Yeah.
I've never heard of that.
I mean, we don't go out. We're so tired at the end of the day.
Rich, what was the last activity for your kids you had on a Friday night?
Friday night, he used to have baseball, but that was during the spring. See, my son only plays baseball during the spring.
Right, mine too.
Yeah, he doesn't do any of the winter baseball, which I know some kids do.
My son doesn't play winter baseball.
Oh, I thought he's doing baseball now.
I ran a clinic for little kids.
Oh, okay.
To try to get people to join the league. Oh, no, actually, I met a guy for lunch on Friday and started drinking.
Okay.
So Friday,
that's an activity.
So Friday, I didn't have an activity. Yeah, Friday, I met a guy for lunch, and then it took off from there.
Mm-hmm.
But that's my experience. Just utter exhaustion. But at least I had the Grammys to look forward to. Just kidding. I would never watch the Grammys in a million years.
Hope you like Post Malone.
I don't. I like how people think the Grammys, too, are, like, legitimate, that it's not the record label going, like, here's a bunch of money, give them a Grammy.
How is it that albums that came out in 2017 can be nominated for a Grammy in 2019?
You know why?
Like, that happens every single year. Because now it's like, that came out, like, forever ago.
Because the record labels pay to get the albums nominated for Grammys.
Right, like the Beck album won, and I'm like, that album's been out for, like, 2 years. Remember how U2, like, always had an album, like, up for, like, record of the year when...
Well, they just wanted to ban someone had heard of.
And you're just like, I don't think they put an album last year. And they always have, like, some sort of album that's up for an award.
I just think it's funny that people think, like, the Grammys are on the... the Grammys are on the level, like, these are the best albums. No. It's the amount of promotion behind the album. All right, Rich, it was a busy weekend in the sporting world.
Yes, it was. And the Bruins, they look pretty good. All of a sudden, they're decent in overtime. And we'll also get to what some of the Patriots have been doing since it's on their victory tour, making all the appearances around the television.
Yeah, they're like Michael Jackson. They're on the victory tour.
Was that what it was called? Victory?
Yeah, and it lost like some incredible amount of money.
Sullivan, owner of the Patriots, took a bath.
Yeah, he like had to lose the Patriots because of it, right?
Something like that. Yeah, I don't remember specifically.
How do you screw that thing up? I mean, how do you screw up like the most popular artist arguably of all time on a tour that is at the height of his popularity?
Yeah, I don't know how many millions of dollars he lost.
But what year was the victory tour?
I got to guess mid-'80s, right?
I'm going to guess
84. Right, yeah.
Okay. All right, we will be right back.
Tutcher and Rich are back on TV.
I really didn't know that.
Twitch.tv. Follow the Sports Hub. Watch and react with 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Tutcher and Rich.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Tutcher and Rich. Rich, what happened last evening?
Hey, all of a sudden the Bruins are good in overtime.
Marchand high slot to Bergeron. Far point now. Marchand high slot feeds it down low. They score. Back to back days. Overtime wins today was Brad Marchand who fed it down low.
That's right. Brad Marchand scores with 56 seconds left in overtime to give the Bruins a 2-1 win over the Avalanche. That was the second overtime victory of the weekend, and OT seems to be the norm for the Bees lately, with the guys seeing extra time in 5 of their last 7 games. There was one ridiculous moment yesterday, however, where it looked for a second like John Moore had scored from center ice.
Miller, rink wide. Moore slams it in. They score! We got an offside.
The puck hit the boards, the glass, right where Tuukka Rask is sitting. If it hits that part of the glass, they'll blow the whistle.
Oh, that sucked because it looked really cool.
Bank shot.
It was a bank shot, but it was called back because, as you heard there, it hit the curved glass by the bench. It was funny. Tuukka, who was sitting there, was trying to sell it, arguing that it was it hit the stanchion and not the glass. It was pretty fun to watch, though. But by the way, that one for John Moore didn't count, but this one definitely did.
Marchand there up top to McAvoy, rink wide. Moore, wrister. He scores! Boston Bruins are locked at a 1-1 tie, and now you got the temp. bumpers flaring at the bottom of the left wing circle.
You think he's got a nickname yet? Morsey? You think that's the right one?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, that's just pure laziness on their part.
A lot of those hockey nicknames are just completely lazy.
Yeah, the only one I can think of that was at all original was Campbell was Soupy.
Yeah, right. Because of Campbell Soup.
Right,
yeah.
Right, but it's Bergy, Marshy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're all nicknamed those things.
Well, on top of the win, it was good to see Halak break his 5-game losing streak. He stopped 35 shots yesterday. He looked pretty good. So here's Brad Marchand after yesterday's win.
We won. At the end of the day, that's what matters. But you could tell it was both teams were a little tired, especially in the third. There wasn't a whole lot going on in the third period. It just seemed like we both kind of hit a wall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're losing leads, and they're having to go to overtime to beat bad teams. I mean, it's nice that you're getting points, but it's not ideal. Obviously, they have to make some sort of move or two.
A lot of extra work, too. I mean, 5 games in 8 days, the last 3 games went to overtime.
Right.
I mean, that's an insane schedule, and they play again tomorrow night. So,
and then they're on the road.
Yep, West Coast.
Did they fire the coach of the Avalanche yesterday?
No, Anaheim.
Or Anaheim. That's who it was.
And then the GM, who's never coached before,
right,
is now the interim coach at exactly the right time where you wouldn't have to split those duties with the trade deadline coming up in the draft.
It's not like his head's somewhere else.
Yeah, that's exactly where you want to be stuck.
Wrong time for the ownership to like take it out on the guy whose fault it is. Okay, you don't like our team? You put this team together? Go ahead and go coach him.
No, yeah, well, it would be nice, even if you're going to fire the guy, to have some sort of assistant that you think they could come in and just, you know, tread water for a little while.
Well, the Blackhawks come to town tomorrow night. Puck drops at 7 p.m., and you can hear it right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. So the Patriots' victory lap continues as many of them are finding their way on TV or as talking heads on hot take television programs. Last week, Julian Edelman had his UConn Cornelius beard shaved for charity on The Ellen Show. And last
night, just in time for the Grammaroos.
That's right. During the Grammys, both Edelman and Devin McCourty cleaned up real nice and presented the award for best duo/pop performance to someone who wasn't Hall & Oates, surprisingly. Here they are bestowing a Grammy to Lady Gaga. Hey, let's take it away, Julian Edelman, hunk.
Well, we made it, man. L.A., thank you for the cheers. Also, thank you for the boos. I appreciate your support, your community.
We're here tonight with music's most valuable players to present a very super award. Best pop duo or group performance. And the Grammy goes to
Shallow, Lady Gaga, and Bradley Cooper.
Oh, they are everywhere.
Yep, it was super. An MVP performance.
How many people in the crowd do you think like knew who Devin McCourty was?
How many people do you think knew Julian Edelman was?
Well, they probably knew Julian because he was on Ellen.
No, but not enough people knew about Julian. He got pissed off. He's like, wait a minute. Don't you know who I am?
Yeah.
I work hard enough at this.
Everyone's just thinking Amendola that whole time.
By the way, Amendola, have you heard about the rumors that the Miami's not going to want to keep him around?
Yes.
Do you think the Patriots should reach out?
Yes. Hey. Considering the wide receivers that are coming back next season, yes.
I would say, why not?
Exactly right.
White slot guy, yeah. You pop him right
in.
They
really need to get a guy back.
Yeah.
Who knows what he's
diminutive,
doing.
Diminutive white slot guy, not?
Who was the player that we talked to, Burt Breer, and he was saying that Bill Belichick would have on his radar? Like, it was a free agent guy.
Adam Humphries.
Humphrey. Yeah, Adam Humphrey. That's right.
A wide receiver for Tampa Bay. Yeah. He's a white guy. He's 5'11", 190.
Yeah, he
fits perfectly.
I think the way that Bert said it, he looks like a Patriots receiver.
Yeah,
I'd say, yes, he does. Exactly like one. So
yep.
When do they sign him? Well, all the coaches not named Bill Belichick or Josh McDaniels continue their mass exodus over at Gillette. Not with now you've got Patriots defensive line coach Brendan Daly. He is going to Kansas City to work for the Chiefs. I mean, they are just picking at the bones, trying to get whatever they can. And meanwhile, none of it matters because Bill Belichick is still the head coach.
Well, they're four assistants down now, right?
So Flores took two guys with him.
Yep.
He took the linebackers coach and
quarterback. He took Slepinski, who was the assistant quarterbacks coach. He took Chad O'Shea, who was, I guess, the wide receivers coach and was supposed to be the next guy in line for offensive coordinator, but because McDaniels never left, he got blocked. So now he's in Miami, and now Daly's gone. So four assistants gone.
Okay, did you watch the AAF this weekend?
I did.
Okay, so the AAF...
Not beginning to end. You mean I popped in and took a look at it.
All right,
yes.
So the ratings apparently did pretty good.
It beat the
NBA, which is like an Oklahoma City game at the same time.
Two good teams, too, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so it was a decent game, but... I turned it on for a minute, and all I know is that I instantly was fixated because I saw standing right there in the sidelines.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
None other than the Fish.
Yeah, he was lurking.
Yep. Jeff, trying to go for a job there? What's he doing?
I don't know. No, he's just picking out the in-game music. He's got like an 8-track player on the sideline. He's like, take this.
All right, what's the difference between the AAF rules and the NFL's rules?
Okay, no extra points. Every team has to go for two after every touchdown. There are no kickoffs. Every team, just as soon as you give up a touchdown, you start at your own 25. There is no onside kicks late in the game, but should you choose that option, you have a 4th and 12 at your own 28-yard line. And if you don't convert it, the team gets the ball where you give it up.
Yeah, if Jeff Fisher was wearing a duster and a big pot leaf belt buckle.
That's right.
How many teams are there in the AAF?
I think there are 8.
Okay.
I think there are 8.
Arizona, Salt Lake. Well, Salt Lake. San Antonio, San Diego, Atlanta, Birmingham, Memphis, and Orlando. All these meccas.
There are a couple of places. And Fred, I thought about you immediately. There are a couple of guys from the NFL who weren't good enough that made it in. Your favorite guy, Christian Hackenberg, is a starting quarterback of one of the teams. Yeah. And he's just as bad against the AAF.
His team scored 0 points.
It's amazing.
Threw a pick. And threw about 82 yards.
Trent Richardson, running back.
He spiked the ball in the stands.
That's right. He was Birmingham's top back. I saw him rush 5 times for 8 yards. I'm like, yep, same. Hasn't changed.
Dan is telling me that you can only rush 5 and you cannot do corner blitzes or anything like that.
Okay.
Even with that, Hackenberg couldn't do it.
No.
What are you talking about? Hackenberg did fine.
What a play there! What a play by Birmingham, and Summers is having some day here. Jamar Summers comes up with a football for the game's first turnover.
Yeah. She picked him off. You see there.
Hackenberg has got the yips. I mean, he's had him since his sophomore year of college.
He's awful. I mean, really, really bad.
He has all the physical tools. He was great under Bill O'Brien, and then something happened, and he just lost it all.
Okay, so what is going to be the difference then between the XFL and the AAF?
I don't know.
Because
I don't know.
Aren't these some of the rules that we thought that the XFL was going to have? No. And if the AAF is going to take these guys like Hackenberg, you know, I mean, that's essentially the market that the XFL guys are going after,
XFL
right?
XFL is probably going to go for the indoor players, I would think. All that's left.
Well, no, I thought the XFL also would take college players before they were able to leave.
Yep, that's possible. That's possible. But what I learned watching the AAF, the product's not terrible. And the game moves along real fast. There are fewer commercials. I mean, you get back to gameplay, and with kickoffs, you lose a commercial break, and, you know, with no kickoffs. Well, I saw this online, and I agree with it. If this is any kind of product at all, the NFL is going to buy this league and make it a minor league system, which is not necessarily a bad idea. I mean, you get guys who want to prove themselves. This can be a minor league, which is what the World League of American Football was over in Germany and all that. You know, if you play well enough in this league, the NFL is going to take a look at you.
Yeah, Jeff Fisher was there, and he said, man, let me patrol these sidelines, because you know what? AAF don't cost a lot to get in. That means loose caboose.
By the way, I was looking it up. You know when the XFL debuted? Do you know what the audience was for that first game?
Like, it was incredible.
It outdrew Monday Night Football, and it had 9.7 million people watching it.
Oh, this is... How long ago was this?
This is 2001.
Yeah, right at wrestling's height.
9.7 million... actually, hang on. The debut week... Okay, hang on. Because it says here, the XFL debut on NBC had an audience of 9.7 million. However, I see another one that said the debut weekend did 54 million. I don't know. Well, either way, it was massive.
Anthony used to do the pregame.
They did. And I think the AAF had like just over 2 million people watch it.
Yeah.
Which is still somewhat impressive. I mean, for the biggest name being Trent Richardson and Christian Hackenberg.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if that's as big as you're going to get, that novelty is going to wear out pretty quick.
I don't know. I the product wasn't bad. It moved along. It was actually pleasing to watch because there was always action. There's stuff going on.
But if it's a bunch of players you don't give a rat's ass about in cities that you don't have any loyalty to, then really who's going to tune in?
I can't answer that.
Fisher.
I can't answer that. I don't know. All I know is opening weekend wasn't terrible.
All right, Rich, what else do we got going on?
All right, Celtics had a really bad weekend, and we need to talk about some of the post-game comments. Marcus Morris just laying it all out there, as well as Brad Stevens.
Okay, we'll have that. Here are the headlines.
Take us with you with the new 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
I'll do anything you want me to.
Download it and listen live to Boston's home for sports. Lift a finger to wake up to Toucher and Rich.
Go ahead.
Just tell your smart speaker to play. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
.985 Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what else is going on?
You know, it's weird to say that a team that has won 10 of their last 13 games hit a low point this weekend, but it sure seemed that way for the Boston Celtics. So when the Seas blew an 18-point lead against the Lakers 2 games ago, one could argue, if you wanted to, that the Lakers just happened to get hot at the three-point line at the wrong time. However, when the very next game you give up a 28-point lead to a team that might not make the playoffs, your team's got issues.
Clippers can take this down to about a minute to go, leading by 4, 114-110.
Dangerous man with that basketball right now.
Lou Williams killing some time, 9 on the shot clock. Al Horford jumps out at him. Here's the lob. Harrell catches, throws to the corner, open. Beverly again, another 3. Celtics jumping around, helping on defense, leaving guys in the corner for the second consecutive game. Boston down 7, final minute.
And what followed were TD Garden boos, which, let's be honest, are tough to come by. Celtics fans being some of the most forgiving. Well, they came out of the box absolutely smoking the Clippers, delivering a season-high 74 points in the first half. It looked like it was going to be Geno time by the beginning of the third period. But then things started to turn.
Rozier getting the start here in the second half again. Kyrie not back tonight. Right knee sprain is what we're being told. We'll see if we get any more on that as the half goes by. He's not going to play in the second half.
So Kyrie leaves the game, and so does the effort, apparently. Boston's season-high 74-point first half was followed up by a season-low 38-point second. Lead blown, game lost. The good news is that Kyrie's injury isn't serious. It's a right knee sprain that's expected to be day-to-day. However, Brad Stevens knows that to give up enormous leads 2 games in a row says something about his team. And he said that he should be the first one to look at himself in the mirror.
Your trends change as the year goes on, both good and bad. But it is disappointing to have 20-point leads in consecutive games and lose. That's for sure. I think that I need to look at myself first and figure out what I can do to help that not happen. If that means we need to play different rotations, call different things, you know, start differently in quarters than we are. You know, whatever the case may be, there's an answer out there, and we have to find it.
But as damning as that sounds, the real confessional came from Marcus Morris, who apparently was in the weight room after the game for several minutes, throwing a medicine ball around, possibly in anger. And after most of the players had left, Marcus Morris came out, and he spoke to the press and basically said, here's what's been going on for the last several months, and I'm going to tell you guys all about it.
Where do you see this one stacking? Because, I mean, 28-point leads are not, you know, given away like this often.
I mean, for me, it's not really about the loss. It's about the attitudes that we're playing with. You know, guys are, you know, hanging their heads. It's not fun, man. Like, it's not fun. We're not competing at a high level. You know, even though we're winning, it's still not, it's just not fun. You know, I don't see the joy in the game. I watch all these other teams on the league, guys up on the bench, they're jumping on the court, they're doing all, you know, other stuff that this look like is they enjoying, you know, their teammates' success, they're enjoying everything, and they're playing together, and they're playing to win. And when I look at us, I just see a bunch of individuals.
What has to change?
The goal has to be to win. Bottom line, we got to play to win. That's sacrificing playing hard, that's sacrificing, you know, being a better teammate, that's sacrificing whatever it is. You know, we have to put it to the side. No one's getting traded. The trade deadline's over. We compete for a championship, and that's how we got to approach these games.
Did you hear that they're saying that there's not animosity in the locker room, but these guys just aren't close.
Yeah, Gary Washburn said that the Celtics locker room issues aren't that big of a surprise to a lot of NBA people he talked to. So the consensus is that the players aren't necessarily beefing, but they just aren't that close. It's like they're trying to coexist politely, and it's not working. So they don't hate each other. They're not like fighting with each other. It's just something's not gelling.
La 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 la.
Here we go. We're gonna lose a draw, man. We're gonna lose games, but we don't have no attitude. We don't have no toughness. We ain't having fun. You know, it's gonna be a long season.
That surprised you that you're not having fun even when you were winning before this little stretch?
It hasn't been fun for a long time, man. No matter, you know, winning or not, you know, the attitude is, you know, it is what it is.
So even during, like, that 9-1 stretch you guys had, you could still see it there?
It hasn't been fun, man. It's not. It hasn't been fun.
What do you think has kept you guys from developing into the team that you want to be, a team, rather than a bunch of individuals?
It's becoming a team, you know, sacrificing. It's not about shots. It's not about, you know, lockdown, man. It's not about that. It's about trying to win the game, man. Whatever the team needs to do to win, you know, we got to stick together. We got to play together. We got to be happy for one another, you know. That sacrifice of shots, that being better defensively, you know, we have to do that, man.
Brad said maybe he has to manage the minutes differently. Do you think shaking this up is the answer?
I have nothing to do with that. He's a coach, if that's what it is, man. So be it, you know. I just want to win, man. I'm just, you know, I just want to have fun. I want to, you know, I want to win down the line, man. It's got to be fun. We just got to have fun doing this thing, man. It's, you know, I look at all these other teams and guys are jumping on the court and, you know, guys are moving the ball. Guys are being, helping each other on defense. Guys are, you know, genuinely happy for each other. You know, when I look at this team, I don't see that.
Yeah, I mean, it was a kick in the nuts this past weekend. And I read a bunch of stuff over the weekend. And as far as the chemistry of the team, that's one thing. But the major thing that you could see in both of those games is that they got lazy. They got lazy once they felt comfortable and they had a big lead. And they always, I read like a breakdown of the first quarter for the Celtics is always phenomenal. Like, they always come out of the box offensively, defensively. Their defensive rating in the first quarter is far and above any of the other quarters. And then their second and third quarters are the worst. And then the fourth, they try to pick up the slack and catch up once again. And I also saw who is mostly to blame for the defensive breakdowns. And this is Adam Himmelsbach. And he did like this thing where you calculated defensive ratings with different pairings on the floor. But yeah, he said the three guys that you can pretty much blame the most for the defensive breakdowns are, of course, Gordon Hayward. Gordon Hayward has been a liability. As a matter of fact, I think he's the worst one out there. And then if he's paired up with either Al Horford or Marcus Morris. Now, Al Horford is a guy that usually is a pretty good defender, but he's still dealing with a little bit of an injury. So there's a little bit of an excuse as to why he's a little bit slow. And with Aaron Baines out of the mix, I mean, when he's in there, it's a completely different team. Defensively, their rating is stellar almost any time he's on the court. However, Marcus Morris right there, as great as he's been offensively, there were several plays on Saturday night that made you want to scream at your TV set. Like, there was one where he went up and did this, like, you know, three-point shot, and he did the kind of home run thing with his hands in the air, and he missed. And meanwhile, his guy is sprinting down court, fast break, open dude for a layup, and it was in. Marcus Morris is just having a hard time getting back on defense. So he can point and point fingers at a bunch of people, but defensively, he's part of the problem.
I think the real scary thing is that winning isn't solving this thing. Usually when you have discontent in the clubhouse, in the locker room, and on the court, it has a lot to do with the team losing. And this team, I don't think there's any argument. This team is incredibly talented. They have a lot of talented players, and you just take a look at it on paper, this should be one of the best two teams, best three teams at worst in the Eastern Conference. And they're winning games, and to hear Marcus Morris say that it isn't fun, even though they're winning games. And I understand you're upset after blowing a big lead like that.
Yeah, two nights in a row.
Right. That's what I took out of it. That's the most damning thing of all, is that this team has been good over the last 3 weeks, and still Morris popped off. I mean, he's every right to be pissed about getting embarrassed like that in the second half against a bad team. It's basically given up. I mean, they're trading away people trying to open two max cap slots for next year, and they came to Boston and beat them after coming back from 28 down. But to say that this team is not happy, even though they're winning, is the worst thing he could have said.
And you know what kind of, I was hoping that when Kyrie left, like you've noticed a few times when Kyrie wasn't playing.
Last year.
Well, no, yeah, well, last year and also this year yeah. When Kyrie's not playing, it seems like Rozier and Brown, all these guys seem to almost have fun. It's like when the teacher's gone for the classroom and they end up, it's beautiful basketball. They end up having fun, but it didn't happen against the Clippers. As a matter of fact, there was a lot of hero ball that came out of nowhere from Terry Rozier, like taking 3-point shots when there was other guys that were open, there was a better play to be made. And just, I mean, that happens every once in a while, but I think that was the most disheartening thing, is that they came out of the box so hard, and you knew that just mentally they checked out. They said, you know what, we don't need to play defense anymore, and the Clippers wanted it. They got in there, they were hungry, and they absolutely humiliated them on their own court. Two nights in a row you saw that.
Yeah, beside the obvious, and Brad Stevens took it on himself saying this is on me, and
well, a lot of
coach,
it is.
I understand, but a lot of this falls in Kyrie Irving's lap. I mean, Kyrie is the guy who stepped forward and said this is I'm paraphrasing here, but basically saying this is my team. I have to lead this team. And he's made some mistakes along the way, but we had Mike Gorman on last week and said, you know what, Irving learned from his mistake earlier and he's a better leader for it. Well, good leaders don't let this stuff happen. I mean, he was on the floor for that Lakers loss. Good leaders don't let this stuff happen in the locker room. They figure out a way to get everyone pulling in the same direction. So when Kyrie Irving gets back, whether it be tomorrow, and by the way, they have a pretty big game to play tomorrow night in Philadelphia.
Yep.
I mean, they
gets the new look Sixers.
This has a lot to do with Kyrie Irving's leadership.
What a perfect game for a bounce back.
Well, it is, except that the Sixers just scored 143 points on the Lakers and blew their doors off. I mean, I still think ultimately in a playoff series that bench is going to be exposed. But for now, I mean, the two games they've played have been fantastic since they got Tobias Harris. So tomorrow night is a huge game to play. I hope Kyrie Irving's back, and I hope he figures out a way to get this team and to lead this team, because he's taken it upon himself to be the leader on the floor. We'll see. This is a big test for him.
And the other thing, too, is it shows just how important Aaron Baines is.
Yeah. That also hurts a little bit.
When he's on the floor, all of that changes.
Yep.
All of that changes.
He's not the X factor, but he could certainly help in that regard.
He's also, you know, the size of all Australia.
Correct.
All of Australia.
Yep. All
good
Australia.
To see Tommy back, by the way.
Yes.
How about that?
That was very nice to see.
All right, Rich, we will finish up what happened last night. What do you got?
Bill Walton, it was high as hell on TV, it seems like.
Yeah, he can do a lot of magic tricks. All right, we'll be right back.
Get the app. Get the Sports Hub. Get Toucher and Rich. Download the Sports Hub app today.
.85 to Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
Hey, you want to hear what it sounded like for the New Orleans crowd when Anthony Davis was first announced onto the court? After he, of course, said, I want to get the hell out of here and be a Laker.
As New Orleans wins the tip, you just wonder how awkward it's going to be as you hear the boos for Davis as he touches on this first possession. Holiday can't finish.
Yeah, when they were calling their names out of the court and doing the introductions, it was a sea of boos.
Good.
For Anthony Davis afterwards. Yeah, if you're a New Orleans fan, of course you're booing the hell out of the guy.
And if you have an ego of the average NBA player, you can go and deal with that for the second half of the season.
So, I mean, what a horribly awkward position that everyone is in because of that whole stupid thing.
No,
what did he think was going to happen?
Maybe that he was going to get traded at the deadline. But, no matter who you are, if you have a crowd that was once completely behind you, now audibly every time you touch the ball or every time you're playing at home boo you, he's not gonna like that.
The agent's to blame for this. I mean, Anthony Davis played a long time. I'm sure he didn't just come to this decision earlier this year. I've had it. I've reached this last loss, puts me over the top. Rich Paul and him sat down and say, okay, how do we get you to the Lakers? The Celtics obviously have a lot. What we have to do is, you know, throw a lot of stuff at the wall here. You know, tell everyone you don't want to sign with Boston. That will maybe, you know, force New Orleans to trade you to L.A. and get the most for the money. And it backfired because New Orleans, as they should have done, waited for the best possible deal.
Did you hear Magic Johnson bitching and moaning this
weekend?
Of course.
They asked
about the Pelicans thing. They did not act in good faith.
Yeah.
All right.
No, they acted like they were smart.
which I'm somewhat shocked by.
Yeah.
But now, by the way, Magic Johnson's going to be working out Ben Simmons during the offseason.
Man, I can't even imagine how the Sixers personnel are going to keep that, because now Matt just gives Magic another chance to establish a relationship with a guy that ultimately will be a free agent at some point.
Right.
And, you know, this gets Magic a chance to get his claws into another would-be free agent.
Who mentioned that? Was it Magic or was it Ben Simmons? Because if it's Ben Simmons, that's on him. But if it's Magic, then he should know better.
Well, yeah.
Because you just made life a little bit more of like a living hell for Ben Simmons then. Because then all these questions are going to be asked about him and going to the Lakers. And, what's up with this friendship with Magic Johnson? Why he mentioned that, I thought, was if he's the one who did that, what a dick move. But then again, that's Magic Johnson for you. So
yeah, I don't think Magic is handling his responsibilities very well.
I don't think so either. But Anthony Davis was asked about hearing boos from the crowd, and he initially said to reporters, "Well, I don't care. It doesn't bother me." However, in a couple seconds later, he admitted that getting that type of reception was a surprise for him, even after everything that transpired over the past 2 weeks. He said, quote, "I'll always love the fans here. That was definitely awkward. I was like, boo? Okay. It doesn't matter. I'm going to go out there and play basketball. It's life, man. Some people aren't going to like you." Then when pressed about the boos later on in the interview, Davis said, "I worry about playing basketball," before muttering, "You can't be on both sides." So there you go. He is. Think about it.
This is a guy who probably was, 6 feet tall in fifth grade. This is a guy that has been nothing but praised his entire life. Fan bases, throwing themselves at his feet. Billionaires getting his every whim. And now he's, for the first time probably ever, facing this kind of adversity.
If you're the Pelicans, you have to be sitting there feeling pretty good. Like, you want him to suffer a little bit.
Of course.
For what he just did.
Yeah.
So, like, this whole thing, like, you didn't get to go to the Lakers. Your dad doesn't want you to go to the Celtics. Well, guess what? We're trading you to the Celtics.
And guess what? Yeah. We're in charge, not your dad.
And for the next...
Not your agent, us.
Right. And for the next 3 months, or 2 months, rather, you're going to sit here and you're going to play basketball in a city that hates you. Now, the only thing that could backfire on them is if he comes out and snaps his ankle.
Right.
And then you're like, all right, well, maybe you didn't play this one, as well as you should.
Well, I'm playing them just to get the gate. I mean, just to have people come in.
But what's more valuable, the gate for a couple of months or the trade that you could end up making or potentially blow if he's injured? Because I'm with you, and I think if I'm the commissioner, I'm pushing hard to get him back out there and playing, because that's a crap move to the people who bought tickets to go see those games. But, I mean, then again, if I'm the GM of the Pelicans, there's nothing more important right now than making sure that deal goes down.
Right. But, I mean, you're paying him all that money. You want to get the gate. At any sign of any kind of soreness or anything, I would obviously sit him. But, what are the chances are he just blows out his knee in the next 2 months?
I mean, it's going to be just so awesome. Every time he steps on that court in New Orleans, there's going to be at least 14 people in that crowd booing him, because that's about all they draw.
They're one of the worst 5 or 6 teams in the NBA for attendance. They're not good.
I would buy a ticket just to boo him if I was a Pelicans fan.
I don't think New Orleans fans care that much, to be honest with you.
Well, obviously they care enough to boo. All right, Brian Robb, who covers the Celtics, is going to join us for a half an hour, and we can talk about all that's going on over there. No commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.